When I was 16, I started dating their daughter. And at the time, I had a friend named Zach who was also dating Kelly's twin daughter. Our twin sister. That's super awkward. Twin sister. And I remember going to their house, 2206 Lynch in Granite City, for the very first time. And when I went there, I remember my now father-in-law saying to Zach, "What's up, butthead?" And thinking, I don't know that I want to be part of this situation, right? And here's the point. The point is there was a comfort level that Zach had that I did not have because he's been around. And because he's been around, there was a familiarity. There was a relationship that was established. And there's some things today that I'm going to talk about that I would deem family business. And because I'm going to talk about these things as family business, if you're not in this room, or if you're in this room and this is your first time, I would say it's a great time to be here. But also could say, you could be looking around going, this is a little awkward. Should I be here for this moment? Because I'm not super comfortable, yet do I even know why I'm here at this church? I don't even know if I'm staying. I just came for the coffee, or I just came because so-and-so invited me. Why am I here? And I think it's very important that we have this conversation. And if you're a first-time guest or you're still checking Life Community out, I feel like this is a great opportunity for you to hear what is happening, what God has done, what he's currently doing, what we see happening in the next couple years, okay? So I'm going to share with you my favorite passage. This is what I would deem my life passage, but it says this, and Peter's talking. He says, and it'll be on the screens, "As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life." My version, it says, Jesus is enough. It is saying anything that you're going through, you are empowered because of what God has done. You are empowered to get through whatever you need to get through. He's saying he has given us everything we need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. And by that same power, he has given us all his rich and wonderful promises. Skip a little bit down. It says, so make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. I was thinking about this during, in between services. That soundboard in the back, we have guys that are running, you know, things and doing their things. But I would say that soundboard, and Stephen, you nod if you agree with this, we're not totally utilizing that soundboard to its max capacity. There are things that that soundboard can still do that will make his life a lot easier if we allow him and if he knows how to maximize that soundboard. There are things that God wants to do inside of your life that are need to come out, but we're not maximizing that because of whatever reason. Maybe it's an insecurity. Maybe it's a depression. Maybe you've been through something. Maybe you don't trust. Whatever it is that is happening inside, but there is more that God wants you to experience that you're not currently experiencing. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't made a way. It doesn't mean that God's not big enough. It just means you and I aren't tapping into all that God has for us. Okay? God is enough. Jesus is enough, and he's given us everything. And he says this, then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. Those are like cuss words in my book. Patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness, and godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. I find that so fascinating. He's saying, listen, you're going to love the people in the church first and foremost, that if you can't love the people in here, you're never going to love your boss that doesn't know Jesus. I mean, think about this. He's like, you're going to have a genuine, godliness is going to lead to this love for other Christians. People are trying to do what you're trying to do. People are trying to head down this path. And then you're going to grow where you're going to just love everybody else, which is so hard, right? We, as a church, and Acts chapter 20 is going to show this, but we as a church have been experiencing some fun things, okay? Things that we have to talk about. And Acts chapter 20 has become this parallel passage that I've learned so much from. Let me read it to you real quickly. And this is Paul talking, and a little backstory. When Paul's talking, Paul is in a good place. Okay? He loves where he is. But then it says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Do you know what your purpose is? Your purpose, no matter where you are, no matter what school you go to, what job you have, your purpose is to testify to the good news of God's grace. Like, that's your job. You may hate where you're at, you may not like the people you're around, but your job is still to testify to the good news of God's grace. Like, that's our job, that's our role. No matter where we go, I'm testifying. That means that you don't have an excuse when you don't like where you are, because the goal, the job, the aim is still that I am testifying to the good news. You're going to go through seasons of life where you hate life. You're going to go through them, you're like, God, get me out of here. You're going to go, God, I want this season to change. God, get me out of winter and get me to spring. I will take the rain, but give me some sunshine. Right? I will take July summer days, God. And in July, we're going, God, give me snow. Right? God, take the humidity. Like, we are in seasons where we're going, God. But this is what it says. He says, first and foremost, there are going to be moments in life where you're compelled to do something. And I'm going to freak some of you out. When you're compelled to do something, it usually doesn't come with details. We're my detail people. We're my 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plan people. You're about to be freaked out right now. You're like, oh God, don't mess up my plan. Nobody mess up my 5-year plan. It's my plan, right? When you're compelled, the Bible says, this is what it says, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. And what awaits me? Uncertainty. What awaits me? No details. This is the reason Psalm says the Lord guides our paths. It doesn't say he lights our future. Because if you know the details, when you're compelled, you'll never go. You'll never do it. We're in a season of life where we love Omaha, Nebraska. We then come to the season of life where we're in St. Louis and we don't really particularly care for this season. Right? Yet God compels us and says, this is where I want you to be. That I want you to be in Monroe County. I want you to be in Columbia. I want you to be Redbud, Waterloo, South St. Louis, Dupo. I want you to infiltrate that area. I'm compelled to do so, but I don't know the details. There's no details in this. When you're compelled to do what God asked you to do, you're not always going to get the details. Just know that that is a God thing and a God's way of messing with you. He's messing with you because you're not patiently enduring. So he's teaching you. He's growing you. He's stretching you. We as a church have been in this season. I've been in a season of uncertainty where, God, I want to know the details. And he's like, Jamie, I'm ordering your steps. Just see the lighted path in front of you. I'm not giving you the future. I'm giving you today. All I can talk to you about today is today. That's it. That's all I can talk to you about. If you want to know 10 years from now, I cannot give you details. I cannot. He says there is uncertainty. I find it ironic because in the American church, you and I typically, when we pray and when we ask for God to lead us, we look for good things, right? We look for God, show me if I should take this job, and it's usually because it's going to be more money or it's going to be in a location I love. That must be the Lord. Right? Oh, the Lord asked me to move to Florida in the middle of December, and I'm getting a $100,000 bonus. This is great. It must be Jesus. That's typically how we work in the American church. It's like, it's got to be good. Paul says, I prayed, I'm going to Jerusalem, and every time I pray, the Holy Spirit says, hey, prison and hardship awaits you. You and I are running the other way. You and I are going, devil, get behind me. You and I are going, this must not be Jesus. Yet Paul is saying, everywhere I go, when God is leading me, there is resistance. everywhere I go, someone is saying something. Somebody's putting me in jail. Somebody's bringing about hardship. Paul's going through everything that he's going through. He's suffering. He's getting lashes. And the Bible says at one point he's getting lashes from people that like him. Like the church is now lashing him. The church is now beating him. The church isn't liking what he's standing for. And yet he still goes. There's going to be resistance when the Lord compels you to do what you're supposed to do. Let me say this. When the Lord asks you to do something, it doesn't always make sense on paper. You guys, when we planted Life Community Church, I had a job offer to move to Texas. And at the time, it was like, that's got to be Jesus, because my sister lives there, and everything's bigger in Texas, and Texas is just like heaven on earth, is what they believe anyway. Everybody from there, yet you're here right now. It's like, yeah, Texans are like real proud and all that, but they don't always live there. Anyway, so it was like on paper, this made sense. Yet I couldn't deny what the compelling was. I couldn't deny that the Lord was compelling, and the Lord was bringing about uncertainty, and the Lord was bringing about resistance. Yet Paul says that at the end of that resistance, there is an unusual confidence. There's a confidence about where you are. It's not arrogance. There's a difference between arrogance and confidence. Confidence is you know God did something. Arrogance is you think you did it. I sit in front of you, number one, not normally sitting, but I sit in front of you telling you there's no way we are where we are without Jesus. That despite us, and the only thing I would correct from Duncan when he's up here is he would say, you guys, it's us. We are in this together. And because we are in this together, there is a confidence that comes from the fact that you know and you can see that Jesus has done something. There's not something that you can see and go, yep, look what he did or look what she did. It's always pointing back to the confidence comes from this is what God has done. In August, when our board was getting together and we were talking, and as we're having conversations, we had this conversation of that obviously there's some growth that's happening. And in those conversations, we were saying that there's still growth that needs to happen. Like we're not done. There's not a ceiling. There's still growth that needs to happen. And since that conversation 6 months ago, from where we were 2 years ago, we're over 200 people. More since that. So in the last 6 months, we've grown over 100 people just in the last 6 months. It was almost like when we talked and when we prayed the last August, we were saying, God, we believe that you still have growth that needs to happen in this location, at this church. And when we prayed, God goes, yeah, there is, and watch this. And people have come, right? And this is the beauty. And so let me just share with you the last couple years, okay? I'm giving you the why for a second. The last couple years in 2017, our average attendance on a weekend was about a little over 300 people. This includes kids and everybody else. In 2018, that moved to about 360, 365. In 2019, that pushed to over 400. And the last 6 months, it's over 450. Okay, and that's a great thing. It's steady growth. It's what God has done. It's awesome things. In 2016, in the fall of 2016, we did a series called All In. And this series was just talking about us as a church being men and women that are going all in. Like we're trusting God with our talents, with our time, with our finances. We're just saying, God, here we are. We're putting everything. In fact, at one point, I took some chips and we put them all in, right? We're just like, God, we're all in on this. And since then, and I encourage people in 2017 that we're going to go above and beyond in giving. We're not just going to give to the church. We're going to go above and beyond. When there's a need, we're going to go above and beyond and meet it. When someone comes in, but I wish I had the time to tell you all of the ways that we are able to give so many different places, from benevolence to the community to behind the scene. It's never been about Life Community Church. It's never been about that, but I wish I could give you all of the ways. But we presented some things, and every year we've just been going above and beyond. In 2017, over $90,000 above and beyond. 2018, $118,000 above and beyond. And last year, almost $200,000 above and beyond. Okay? Which is just screaming That we are a church that loves to give, right? We love to give to needs. We love to give to people. We're people that are compelled and we don't know the details, but we're giving our lives away. And we're saying, God, here it is. We trust you. And there's so many in this room that you've taken that challenge. So we came in August and we said, all right, what are the next steps as a church? And again, to me, it's this stretching moment and the whys all around us, right? When you're 8 months pregnant, there's not too many people coming up going, so you're pregnant, huh? Right? If they are, they should be slapped, right? If they do that at 2 months, it's a little different. But at 8 months, there's an expectancy. There's an understanding. There's a, you're about to have a baby, and there's a child that's coming. The why is easy, right? We're capping out our services. The 75% rule that they say is once you're 75%, you're going to stop growing. Like, you have to put a ceiling on that. There's excitement in the beginning. There's energy in the beginning, and people love it in the beginning. But then there comes this point where it gets frustrating, and people can't find seats, and people are tired of sitting in the front row because they come late, right? Not you guys, because you've been dedicated from day one. Maybe day 365 or somewhere around there. But in the old building, you sat in the front row. Yeah? Oh, that was because it came late. See? So this is what happens. You come late, and then you just expect at some point, you know what? It doesn't matter. We're going to the front row. Nonetheless, at some point, the excitement becomes frustration. At some point, the excitement becomes, you know, midnight runs to Jack in the Box, right? I'm sorry, that's what happened during our pregnancy. Anyway, at some point, the excitement becomes, I need to go somewhere else because it's too crowded. And so we came to this conclusion a couple months ago that we need to start looking down a path of what it would look like to add on to this building. And so we are taking the necessary steps to add on to this current building at 626 West Bottom. And with that comes a lot of questions and a lot of details. And I can't give you all of them. I can just give you some of them of where we are. And I'll never be in front of you and telling you that try to hold it over you or try to sneak something by you. I can tell you where we are. There is some complications with our current building. When you add three buildings, you know, the old sanctuary of Baptist Church built in the 50s, this sanctuary, the extension, when you add three buildings together, it gets a little weird, right? From levels and all of that. And so we're trying to correct a lot of that. For all my tree hugger friends that are mad that the tree in the front went down, this is why, right? This is why it went down. Also, when we knocked it down, there's an illustration in this somewhere, but when we knocked it down, it was actually rotting. And he said at some point this needed to come down anyway, to which I said, I'm sure somebody would be happy about that. I really don't personally care. Make some paper, you know? And it's like, so, sorry. I almost went out and hugged it and just took a picture, but I decided not to. Anyway, so there's a passage of scripture, and this is Paul talking to the Macedonian church. And he says, I want you to know what God, in his kindness, has done through the churches in Macedonia. And this is where we are. They are very poor, but they are filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. And then he continues and he says, and since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. Because here's where we are. And I'm breaking it down as simple as I can. And I'm going to ask if the ushers would come and they would just hand something out to you. But in 2016, in the fall, this also is what I went through. We talked about just ways of giving. And hear what I'm about to say to you, okay? Hear what I'm about to say. The Bible is clear, and the Lord said this, not me, okay? Jamie Bridges did not say this. He said, test me. Test me in this. Test me in the way you give. And I believe he isn't just talking about money there. I believe he's saying, test me in the way you give your life away. Test me in the way you give your talents away. Test me in this, okay? You let me prove to you. Because here, guys, listen to what I'm saying. Don't be distracted by these guys. Listen to what I'm saying. When the Lord proves to you, when the Lord compels and you're convinced, because the Lord has convinced you, nothing can change you. When you're convinced, not me convincing you, not your spouse convincing you, but when the Lord convinces you, when the Lord speaks to you and you go, I know God just did something in my life. Nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can. It doesn't matter if so-and-so comes. This is why Paul goes, listen, you can put me in prison. You can give me all the hardship you want. It's not stopping me from why I do what I do, which is to spread the gospel, the grace that Jesus gives. This is the aim, that I'm continuing to spread it. Okay? And it is so important that we hear this is what the Lord is doing. Okay? Now, a couple things. A couple months ago, we started fostering. And foster care for our family looks a little different. As a family, we came together, right? And as a family, we said, guys, we're looking at doing this. Is everybody in? Because I need everybody to in. I need, at the time, the 11-year-old Lila to be in. I needed 14-year-old Libby to be in. I needed my boys to be in. I don't want to bring someone into our home and not everybody be in, right? So as we brought them in, all of our kids, yes. Now it means something totally different to my kids. To Carson and Jake, who are living in the basement, they got kind of the bachelor life in the basement. They get to come up and they get to see Maya and they get to love on Maya. They get to make her laugh. They get to tickle her. They're not changing diapers. They're not waking up in the middle of the night. They're all in looks a little different than Lila, who at 12 years old gave up her room and said, I'll share it with the 20-month-old. It looks a little different for her. The middle of the night, she's waking up because Maya's waking up. When Maya's going to bed at 6:45 or 7 o'clock, which, thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Lila can't go back into her room. All in looks a little different for Lila than it does for Jake, than it does for Carson, than it even does for Libby. It's sacrificial for Lila. It's costing her something. I learned early on, if you don't ask people to meet a need, they probably won't. What I'm presenting you today is simply a plan. It's not a campaign, okay? Guys, go ahead and pass these out. It's not a campaign. I don't like that word campaign. And the closer we get to November, I really hate it. Let me say this. As a church, we've never done this, okay? We've never done a building project. I've never stood in front of you and said, hey, would you give to the building? Except for one time. When we got into this building, underneath this carpet is scriptures and prayers that people wrote. We had no carpet. We had no green carpet in the hallway. And I stood in front of you guys and I said to the church at the time in 2015, I said, listen, we got to buy flooring. That's what we got to buy in this room. We've painted. We've done all these things. We got to buy flooring. If you'd like to give to the flooring and the Lord directs you that way, give towards it. And that day, people gave towards that. To which we got this flooring. That's the only time we've said that. And here's the other thing, and you need to hear this. Don't listen to my words. Pray first. Pray first. Pray first. Lord, are you asking me to be a part of this? Because I'm not going to lie to you. It's a commitment. It is a commitment that we're making. It's a commitment of us figuring out who is all in. Who does want to be a part? And you might be here today going like, I'm on the fence. It would be no different if what I'm presenting to you today isn't happening. If you need to decide whether you're in or not. So if nothing else, this is a moment where you're praying, God, is this where you have my family? Because this is so important to me, you guys. It is important for me. It is important for you to pray and to say, God, is this the church you have me? And grow there. To lay roots and to grow. And if it's not here, you need to find a church where you can grow and where you can lay roots and you can grow deeper in your walk. That has to happen. Whether that church is doing a building pledge or they're not, that has to happen for you so that you can grow from being a surface Christian to being in depth, having a personal relationship with Jesus. That has to happen. Okay? So if anything else, the next month, I want you to pray because I would hate in the next year you to go, I gave because you guilted me into giving. I don't want that. Just like you don't want your kid to do that, right? Well, I said sorry because you made me say sorry, but I really wasn't sorry, right? We don't want to raise kids that way, though we kind of do that. Like, say you're sorry. We're not leaving until you say you're sorry. You know, It's like, well, so if you need to hear that today, give. I'm not leaving here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm asking you to take the next month to March 22nd. And I'm asking you to first and foremost to pray. And that prayer is not, should I give? I'm asking you to pray, God, is this the place for me? Is this where you have my family? And then I'm asking you, if that's a yes, what I'm asking you is to, I'm asking you, and this may sound weird. I didn't say this at 9 a.m., but we have to hear this. I'm asking you to start small. I'm asking you to ask the Lord, Lord, where are we really at? What do I want to be a part of? And yes, I need to be at this church, and they're going through some growing pains, and because of that, we got to stretch a little bit. And there's some things we're going to have to do temporarily, just like we have to do right now as a family. We're doing some things temporarily that we know we have to do. We also have to do that as a church. So this comes with the charge that during this season, this temporary season, that we as a church stretch. And in that stretching, you might be asked to serve somewhere. Now, some of you, you're doing incredible stuff. I'm not asking you to serve anymore. I'm not taking the 20% of the people that are serving and saying, serve more, okay? I'm looking at those that have been on the sidelines. There's a stat out there that's kind of crazy to me, but it says, when you have people that give their lives to Jesus and they come to your church, man, they're giving their time like crazy. First 18 months, they're giving their time, but they're rarely giving financially. But then there's this stat where people come from other churches, and you need both growth, you guys. There's people that come from other churches. The first 18 months, they're giving financially, but they're rarely giving of their time. Now, I know that the stats aren't accurate with every single person, okay? But I just know we're at different places, and we got to stretch. And you have to decide. And maybe this is us as a church going, am I in or not? That's a great question. The first year that we were together as a church, I sat down with a guy in the church, and this individual didn't like some of the things that were happening at the church. And to be honest with you, I didn't either, right? I mean, there were some things I wanted to change. There was not things we were told, but this guy and I sat down, and he didn't like some of the things that were happening at the church, and we had a discussion about it. And then he said this, if you don't change what I'm not liking, I'm no longer going to tithe. To which I said, I don't care if you tithe or not. And he said, you're a preacher. You care if I tithe. I said, I don't care if you tithe or not. It's not between me and you. My source is not you. My source is God. And if God can use a donkey, he's going to use you. To which I said, God used asses then, and he still uses asses. Amen? Anybody? That probably won't make the YouTube clip. All right, so. The individual said, I know as a pastor, you know who gives. And I said, I actually do not. I do not know. Because I don't want to treat people differently. So I actually don't know. I've never heard of that before in your life. And I said, well, you need to get out more. First and foremost, but I don't know. Needless to say, that person didn't come around. But I need you to hear this. They didn't stay. Needless to say, I need you to hear this. When you give, it's a heart issue between you and Jesus. Okay? It's between you and Jesus. And it would be super awkward, right? Which I know right now I'm getting some of the student teacher moments where you're like not looking at me in the eye because we're talking about hard things. But Jesus talked about money more than anything else in the Bible. You know why Jesus talked about money? Because it's the biggest contention that you and I have. We give up time. We give up talent. We'll even extend grace to places, but do not take the control of my money. Let me control this. So Jesus constantly contended with people when it came to money. This does not need to be an awkward conversation, okay? This does not have to be super awkward. And in this card, I broke it down for me personally as a family, so I'm gonna get real vulnerable with you. As a family, we sat down 2 years ago, okay? 2 years ago, I carry around a brown journal, and my soccer girls know this because they call it my soccer Bible. And it's my notes. It's things that I write in every single day. There's something in that every single day. And 2 years ago, in a horrible artistic version of myself, I drew this building. Not because God woke me up one morning with a vision, but because I learned a long time ago, if you don't have a vision for something, people will never give to it. And so someone a long time ago said, are you dreaming? Is there anything that you're dreaming about that a dollar amount could be attached to? And so I've always lived in a way that if someone came in and said, do you have a dream, that I would say, yes, here it is, and that they could attach money. Because I had a dream a long time ago that someone came in and said, I have $2 million. Do you know what you do with it? And I'm telling you right now, you come in with $2 million, I got a plan right in front of what we could do with that money. So if you need to write a check today, no problem. I'll tell you. This isn't a whim. This isn't something we thought of last week. This is something we've prayed about the last 2 years, you guys, of just going, God, we know in time. Now, our desire as a church is always to plant other campuses. That desire has not gone away. We still have a desire. But if you're asking me where, when, and what's it look like, I cannot give you those details. I can't. I don't know that. But I know it's still a desire, and it's still something I feel like the Lord has done. Because here's our beginnings that I think the Lord is going to rewrite. When we planted Life Community Church, there was a church that was shutting down that walked up to us and said, do you want the keys to this building? To which we said, I guess. We'll take the building, right? They gave us the building. Before we launched, here are the keys. Here are the building, 310 South Drive. This is your building. Okay. And by the way, there's $70,000 in the account if you want it. Okay, I guess we'll take it. And across town, there's a house. If your family wants to live in it, I guess we'll live in it. Yeah, that's cool. So when people say, like, what's the MO and how do you plant churches? It's like, well, you got to find people that will give you buildings and then give you $70,000 and then give you a house. And, man, you're golden. That's not what we did. That's what God did. He's the one writing the story. And so I can confidently stand in front of you and go, like, listen, if the attitude is I'm not giving to that, it's okay. God's got this. This is God compelling. You didn't compel, God compelled. And when God compels, he gives you a confidence to go, this is what he's doing. And you guys, this is who we are, that we should never forget. Never forget that our aim, our purpose, our goal is to always testify of the mercy and the grace that Jesus offers. That never changes. And you have friends and family and community people that need to hear. So with that temporary, in our temporary time, starting Easter weekend, we will add a third service. So we'll go to 8:30 to 10 and 11:30. Won't affect you guys too much. You're either coming an hour earlier or you're going half an hour later. It depends on how you want to sleep. Or maybe you're getting really, really crazy and you're coming at 8:30. We're my 8:30 people. All the team behind me. That's awesome. Anyway, that's Easter weekend, to which actually we'll have a 6 o'clock on Saturday night that weekend as well. But that weekend from here on out, we'll do three until the building is done. And what that allows us to do is to continue to grow while we build. We will always have two services. We will always have two services, even when we build. Okay? The idea is to still be options and to be that for our community. So we're excited. We're anticipating. And again, I'll always update you these next month. But again, I want to give you, you know, I want to share with you enough for you to start praying. Okay? And I recognize in this room there are people of talents, and some of that enthusiasm is like, I want to help with this and I want to help with that. We have hired a general contractor who is able to, you know, bring in the right bids and all those things. We're welcoming people to make those bids. It's stopping us from, you know, Joe Schmo, who's a site electrician, but really not really an electrician, right? Can I say that out loud? Like, you're not licensed and you just play around, and that's not something what we want to play around with, right? We want to make sure the walls are straight and all that good stuff. And so we're welcoming bids from the congregation, obviously, but we're relying on the general contractor to decide those things, okay? So let me pray. We're We're going to sing this song. You guys all right? Anybody mad at me right now? I can handle it. I mean, it doesn't have to be about this. You could be just mad at me about something else. It's all good. I got security here. I ain't scared. It's time to earn that paycheck, Ken. Oh, man. Will you stand with me today? Let's pray. God, thank you for what you're doing on the earth. God, just pray, God, that you would just continue to order our steps, continue to light our paths. God, we trust you. Trust who you are, trust what you're doing. And God, I'm so grateful that you are a God that compels his people. I'm so grateful that you are a God that sometimes on paper it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's just the lighted step. It's not the lighted mile. It's the lighted path, and it's the lighted next step and the step after that. But God, I'm grateful that you trust, that you extend grace and mercy. And God, I pray right now for the men and women in 2020 that are going to come to know you because of Life Community Church. Because we're a church that believes in being in a community. We're a church that believes in making it our aim to share our story and our testimonies, that we are not a group of people that have it all together, but we are a group of people that depend and trust on you. That we take our messy, hopeless situations, and you give us hope. You give us a message. So God, I'm asking that you speak to your people, that you confirm your word, that you show us the truth of who you are. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I know I say this a lot, but feel free to have a conversation, an email. The email is Shaun, S-H-A-U-N. It's just kidding. We want to have conversations over this next month, and so feel free to always do that. Let's sing the song together real quick.